You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Kids across the state went back to school this week. For the students who are undoubtedly keeping track, that means the school is about halfway through. Another milestone for schools and the state was January 1st, when a host of new laws went into effect that will govern the way schools operate, having effects on students, teachers, and parents. Diana Lambert is a senior reporter with EdSource, and she's here to break down some of the biggest new laws affecting schools and to give us the latest on negotiations between school districts and teachers' unions as the possibility of a strike looms. Diana, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you, Chris. Nice being here.
Well, to start, let's talk about a law that most parents and students have been following closely since it passed, AB 3216, otherwise known as the Phone Free School Act. Tell us a little bit about what that act does.
Well, the Phone Free School Act requires school districts to come up with some sort of a policy limiting phone cell use in school beginning July 1st.
And just to be clear, this is not, you use the word limit, this is not a ban on cell phones by any means, correct?
Correct. The district is being asked to work with the community members and parents to come up with a reasonable policy for their districts. So it could be a complete ban or just not allowed during classroom time or maybe even only for a certain portion of the classroom time.
And, you know, I'm wondering, as schools figure this out here in California, are there models across the nation? Have other states put similar limits in place?
Well, at least five other states, including Florida, Louisiana, Indiana, South Carolina, and Ohio, have similar laws.
I see. And what on, just sticking on this particular law for a moment, what are you looking for? What are some indications that you'll be tracking just to see how this works, how it doesn't work?
Well, we're already looking across the state because many districts already have phone limitations in their schools. I mean, for years now, people have been locking them into pouches or confiscating them at the front of the classroom. So overall, you know, studies indicate that it's working. The kids are more attentive in class and have a better attention span.
Right. Well, we will have to see how that works out as now all are required to come up with this framework for limitations. There's another law that that you're tracking, Assembly Bill 715. The legislature created a new state office, the Office of Civil Rights. What will that office be tasked with?
Well, that office will be tasked with just tracking civil rights violations and discrimination for anti-Semitism, gender, religious, and LGBTQ status. So it's not just anti-Semitism that they're tracking.
And that law was particularly controversial as it was going through the Capitol. Give us a little bit of the background on that.
Well, it was controversial because it was initially meant to track anti-Semitism solely, but it was changed as it went through the process. And now it tracks many different kinds of discrimination, but still teachers and other groups are concerned that it might cause censorship in the classroom.
Right. Now, Diana, there's another law that deals with restrooms on school campuses. Tell us what's new with that.
Well, every campus is now required to have a gender-neutral bathroom that can be used by female or male students. And the only exemption is if it's a small school and you only have one bathroom for males and one bathroom for females, then you don't have to do it. But otherwise, you have to have this bathroom has to have appropriate signage and be open for all students.
Well, moving down the list of new laws, and there are quite a few, but let's look at the issue of truancy. California law requires students ages 6 to 18 to attend school. And previous state law would punish parents or guardians of chronically truant children, those who would miss school without a valid excuse for 10% or more of the year. What was the previous punishment, and how does this new law change that?
Well, a parent could be fined up to $2,000 a year or up to a year in jail if their child was chronically truant. So now that isn't what happens. Instead, there'll be, you know, the usual counseling or conversations with parents.
Right. So really it does away with those previous punishments.
It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another big issue is immigration enforcement, certainly in the last year or so. So responding to the immigration enforcement actions that have ramped up under President Trump's second administration, that was at the heart of a lot of laws passed in 2025. Just yesterday on Insight, we talked about the No Secret Police Act and the No Vigilantes Act that banned law enforcement from wearing masks and compel them to properly identify themselves when on duty. Those laws are now held up in court, but you wrote about a law that seeks to shield schools from immigration enforcement. What's the California Safe Haven Schools Act?
That prohibits school staff from allowing immigration enforcement officers on campuses or releasing any personal information about students or their families to immigration officers.
Right, right. Unless they have a warrant, correct?
A warrant, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that would be the case where they still would be able to go onto a school campus. Okay. So moving on to another big story in the world of education, you've been covering ongoing negotiations between teachers' unions and multiple school districts across the state. 14
correct.
Different school districts are at an impasse over contract negotiations with their teachers, including some big ones like Los Angeles and San Francisco Unified, along with two here locally, Twin Rivers and Natomas Unified. What's at stake for schools and teachers and students in these negotiations?
Well, I think I need to give you an update. First of all, we're up to at least 18.
Oh,
and
wow.
Five are in the Sacramento region now.
No kidding. 18 and Sacramento. Five in the Sacramento area. Wow.
And in Sacramento area, region, that includes Woodland Unified and Washington Unified and West Sacramento, Rockland Unified, Twin Rivers Unified, and Natomas Unified.
So a lot going on there with 18. Give us the big picture. What, when they reach an impasse, you know, what does that mean for students, you know, for education in general?
Well, when they reach an impasse in negotiations, when someone formally calls for an impasse, that means that the state sends in a mediator. So it doesn't really at that point impact classrooms. But the mediator comes in and tries to mediate the situation. And if they can't, it goes to fact finding. And that's when a state panel comes in and issues a report and offers a recommendation to settle the contract. However, the recommendation is not something that they have to follow. It's just a recommendation. So then they could, if that doesn't work, they could potentially go to strike.
I see. So still more, a lot more to track on that topic. And the California Teachers Association, or CTA, is the union that most of these districts are part of. They have a campaign that they've been talking about for the past few years called We Can't Wait. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Right. It's an effort to have the districts work together, particularly districts in the same regions work together. So they've been aligning their contract dates so their contracts would end at the same time. So their negotiations would be at the same time. So the threat of a strike could potentially be at the same time. So we could potentially, although not likely, have five districts at strike at the same time. So that really pressures the region, you know, the government, cities and counties to get involved. So in our case, you know, we could have in Sacramento City, Natomas and Twin Rivers striking at the same time.
You know, we talked about the impasse that these districts and unions are at. What are the main demands that teachers are asking for in these contract negotiations?
It's similar across the board. The teachers' unions are largely asking for better pay and benefits, smaller class sizes, and more school counselors, nurses, and mental health professionals. Although that varies from district to district.
And I understand that healthcare has also been a major sticking point, in, at least in past negotiations between teachers and districts. What are some of the conversations about healthcare this time around?
I mean, it really varies what districts offer teachers in healthcare. Some pay 100% of the benefits, some don't. So most of the teachers' unions want 100% of their benefits paid.
Right, right. Yeah, and that can be such a huge cost. I mean, it can be almost as important or more important than a pay increase to see your health benefits, better coverage there. As we mentioned a moment ago, locally, there are several, you mentioned five districts.
Right.
We know of Twin Rivers, Natomas, you mentioned Woodland, others that are currently at an impasse on negotiations with their teachers. The teachers' unions are part of the We Can't Wait campaign, and both are part of several districts that have indicated they're ready to strike. What are the Twin Rivers teachers asking for in their negotiations, and what has the district offered so far?
Well, the teachers at Twin Rivers want a 12% salary increase over 2 years, but the district has offered only 2.5% with no guarantee for the first year, with no guarantee for the second year.
Oh, wow. So that's a huge gap
there. They're
far apart. 12 to 2%. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. huge. Okay, so essentially, where do things go from here? You mentioned a mediator might be or could be brought in?
Well, no, a mediator will very likely be brought in. Some of them, I heard from one district that they're waiting for their mediator because there's such demand right now. So they have to sort of get in line to get the mediator. So, that's what's next. I mean, they would automatically go to mediation if they're in impasse. And then, like I said, fact-finding. And then matter of strike, people have asked me when is a strike likely to happen. Who knows? Maybe they'll come to an agreement, maybe they won't. But I've heard as early as this month in some cases. I don't know if that's true locally.
So, Diana, we talked about new laws going in effect, affecting schools in the new year. We talked about these contract negotiations. What are some other topics that you're going to be looking to monitor in education in California in the new year?
Oh, the variety of things I'm going to look at. Right now, I'm getting ready to look at vaccinations. Of course, that's big in the news right now with the changes that's at the CDC. So I will look at and see how that will impact California and whether or not vaccination rates are going up or down.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And how are things going when it comes to that issue? I know that was a topic that generated a lot of controversy. A lot of parents have been concerned about health issues and schools. How much of that is going to be your focus in the new year?
Well, at least that's my focus coming up. I'll be looking at that. I'm just starting to look at that, but I'm looking at some of the state statistics and trying to determine if vaccination hesitation has decreased the number of kids being vaccinated. Although state law requires they be vaccinated to go to school, there is a period of time where they're able to go to school without being vaccinated. I'm going to look and see whether those numbers are on the increase.
A lot to monitor, a hugely important topic, education in California. Diana, thank you for covering it, and thank you for outlining your reporting for us here on Insight.
Thank you.
That was Diana Lambert, senior reporter with EdSource. She wrote about 11 new laws affecting California schools and the ongoing negotiations between teachers' unions and school districts. We'll have a link to her work on our website. Still ahead, folk singer John McCutcheon is a prolific songwriter and is releasing his 46th album this week. We'll talk with him about touring at the ripe age of 73. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.